And it sure is good to see each of you tonight, and I'm so thankful that you're here. And I know Brother Robert and Sister Mildred, they have an early morning. I was like, you might as well just stay up all night if you have to be at the VA at 6:45. Let's really be in prayer. There's a lot of objects to mention, but just have that on my heart also, and we'll definitely have our time of prayer. And I really want to again focus on that and try not to be lengthy with the message tonight, but just really been thinking about prayer again, and just staying with the Lord and depending on Him, and what it kind of means to do that. And there's many different illustrations that's given in the Bible along those lines. But if you will, let's turn to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. We'll try to get right into the message so we can have our time of prayer together. I tell you, I really enjoy that, and thought about it earlier today about us gathering around like we did a week or so ago and in a circle and hold hands. That meant something to me. I think it meant something to others, and I'd like to do that again tonight, just because just thinking about the many different objects of prayer we have, there's just so many, and I want you to help me to remember them tonight. I try to write things down and talk to a few folks today and what have you about things that's going on, and maybe have a few updates. But I hope this to be a blessing to you tonight, and thinking about the Lord when we do pray to Him, who He is. And you know, we do have a choice of staying with Him or not. I'm not talking about salvation wise, but we can go off on our own and start making our own decisions without consulting Him. And that's not a good thing for us to do. I see it. I think sometimes people get burnt out, or sometimes people have a lack of faith, maybe a lack of judgment, maybe sometimes perceive, the devil will have you perceive it this way, that the sinful man that doesn't claim anything might have it easier than the Christian man, and you might as well just go be with him. Might as well just say, hey, you know, if they're stress-free and all that kind of stuff and what have you, might as well go ahead and just follow them instead of trying to get them to follow you or follow Christ. But I really want us to see the importance tonight of following God, or staying with Him. And that's what the title tonight is with God and staying with God. I want you to know that regardless of how good or how bad, how easy or how hard your situation is, I promise you it's better with Him. I want you to know that. It is absolutely better with God. The devil will try to play tricks on your mind and try to work on you and get you to maybe be lax about things, or just grind on you. I've used that term a lot the last couple of weeks. Maybe grind on you to the point you're saying, what's the use? Just going to throw my hands up in the air and say, forget about it. But I see some verses here tonight, and I think maybe I was maybe preached along these lines not too long ago, but just kind of wanted to touch on it tonight. Looking at verses 16 through 26, might have to turn a page over, I don't know. But again, it's about the rich young ruler, and this isn't about, not talking about money per se tonight or anything like that so much, as just everybody has a thing. I'd say there's something that in everybody's life that somebody has that they probably spend more time thinking about, more time meditating on, or what have you, outside of God. And any time we get to something like that, whether it be good or bad, that takes away from God, that really messes with us. That messes with mankind. In this situation here, it's talking about a person's salvation. It's talking about this rich young ruler. But when you first start seeing this, I just want to read. I'm almost going to go backwards in a way, but I do want to start with verse 26. And it said, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Think about how powerful that verse is. Because I know in our minds, when you kind of get ground down to the point and you think, well, what's the use? What's the point? It's not going to work out. Even if you're not trying to have a certain outcome, maybe you don't feel at peace, or you don't feel at ease. And it's a hard place to be in. It's one thing to stay in a situation maybe for a short period of time, but if you want us to look at it this way also, if you look back in the Old Testament, you think about the captivity, you think about those years that God's chosen people spent in captivity, that was for discipline's sake. That was not God being mean to his people. That was God disciplining his people. And so there's different ways of looking at things. Some, you know, we go through hard things sometimes, and sometimes it's out of disobedience sake, because the Lord chastises his own, but sometimes I think he teaches us things. If we went through a short period of time of a trial, and maybe we didn't go through it long enough, we might not have learned it good enough. I don't know how else to say that. Just think about it. If we didn't go through it long enough, we might not learn it good enough and have the outcome that he wants us to have. But in this situation here, we're talking about eternal life. You see, it's talking about here, Jesus, in this verse 26, it says, "But Jesus beheld them," and that means to observe with care. And he's talking about his own disciples and his own people at this time. And they had a question, and we'll get to that, but he really beheld them. When he talked to people, it was not on the surface. A lot of times people didn't get it, because the way that he said things was to try to get their attention so they wouldn't just stay on the surface. A lot of times we will do that until we get more comfortable with somebody, or really maybe get to a situation that's more serious. But then you just kind of quit that surface talk and you get down to the level. But Jesus beheld them. He observed his people with care. And he said unto them, "With men this is impossible. With God all things are possible." They just witnessed Jesus Christ witness to somebody, and somebody walk away. That somebody walk away from Christ himself. Now, if Jesus couldn't witness to somebody and have them accepting of him, how in the world can anybody else do it? How could we do that? You think about it from maybe their perspective. But when you go back and you look at verse 16, kind of gives us the rest of the story, or how it started. And it said, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So this person here, he called Jesus good. And Jesus, you'll see, he asked him, "Why did you call me that? Why did you distinguish me that way?" But he had a question, and I don't know how sincere he was in asking that question, because what you'll find is this person had a lot of money. He was wealthy, and maybe on the surface of it, he was thinking, "I have all these things, but I see and I hear this preaching, this teaching that Jesus has and what he says to people, and it seems like people are changing their lives, and so he is changing their lives. Something is happening there," and he saw some realness to it. Maybe he felt some hollowness, even though he had all these things, and he had enough about him to ask the Lord, how can I have eternal life? I hear you talking about it, but how can I too have it? You might be here tonight, and you might have that same question. You might say, how can I have eternal life? And you see the answer that is given here, and I want us to see this. In this particular case, it was about money. But it's not about money in all cases. Your leaning might not be toward money. Your vice, your stumbling block may not be money at all. It could be something else. It might be a career that you're chasing down. It might be a hobby that you're chasing down. It might be a sport that you're chasing down, something like that. But what I want you to see tonight, anything that you put before God is a stumbling block. Anything. And what I read here before, what it said, with God. Who's with him? Are you with him tonight? Are you fully with him? You say, that's a superficial question to ask. Of course I'm with him, but are you really with him with your heart? Only he knows that. I can't even tell you that. Our actions will speak, but I can't tell you how devoted you are or not. I'll say this, the very fact that you're here tonight shows devotion to me, and I'm thankful for that. Thank God that you're here tonight, and so we can have this time together. I appreciate that. So he asked him this, and then Jesus is talking to him, gives him a response, and he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into eternal life, keep the commandments." And he liked that part. A legalistic person would probably like that part. A Jewish person that had grown up under the law and who tried to follow the law would probably like that statement. Like, well, I've got that. I've got all these goods here. And now he's talking about the law. I've got all these things. He, in his mind, he thought He had the total package. I think he thought this was just going to be a simple question and answer session without him having to give something. But that's not the case. When you accept Christ, you have to give something. You have to give your heart or you haven't accepted Him. When you go to Him in prayer, in earnestness, you think about fervency or earnestness, that's giving your heart and putting your heart into it. You see, that's what he was asking for, the heart of the matter and what he was getting at here. And he's asking, why do you call me good? Knowing the law, he should know that God in heaven is good. But now if you're calling Jesus good, now does that mean you've accepted him as God or not? That's the question. You believe in me, you believe in God, you believe also in me. You see, that was the question he's saying here. It's almost like he was trying to brag on Jesus as a person almost, calling him good in his own right, but not in his right as him being the Son of God. It's kind of, that's how I take the way he said that. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Talking about the law that is laid out here. And it says, verse 18, it says, he saith unto him, which, said Jesus. He's saying, which? Now, which one of these? That's the question. You know, and he knew how he was going to respond. You know, if I ask you certain questions and there's certain things that you check off each day that you do, then that would be easy for you. You know, like having a child. Did you get up this morning? When you got up this morning, did you brush your teeth? Yes. Did you make your bed? Yes. These questions, these things like that somebody could ask and somebody could check that list off and say, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, this is easy. I've done all these things. But you know, as I was reading this and thinking about the law myself, I might be able to check off some of these, but I promise you this, I can't check off all of them. And if you can't check off just one of them, then you're guilty of all of them. That's a strong plea there. That's a strong case to make. If you've messed up in one, then you're guilty of all. So you can't claim that or hold on to that, can you? You can't do that. You can't be good enough, can you? He saith unto him, which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he just listed off a few. Have you done these things? Have you done these things? And I think maybe in relief, you see the response he gives in verse 20, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? I've done all these things. So what's holding me back from having this eternal life? What's holding me back? What's holding you back tonight? If you're here tonight and you're lost, what honestly is holding you back from accepting the Lord as your Savior? If you're listening, but if you're here tonight, what's holding you back? If you've heard the gospel about how Jesus was born of a virgin, we got Easter coming up, and how he lived a sinless, perfect life, to be the sin debt for all of mankind. He lived that life and he went to the cross to die to be that perfect sin debt for us. If he done that, you believe that. You believe he done that. And you believe he died for our sins. And he rose again on the third day, just like the scripture said. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? I promise you, it's not the Lord. If he's convicting your heart, he's saying, come unto me. Come unto me. That's what he's saying. That's what he is asking of you. But you see here, what happens is with this young person here, this rich young ruler, I think this is what happens a lot of times with people for different purposes, for different reasons. They get their mind on different things. They focus on different things. The tangible things of life are the things you got to watch out for the most, I believe. The things you can see, the things you can hold on to. Because when you start putting things on the scale of life, that thing that you can hold, that thing you can touch, that thing you can count, that's the one thing that really seems to start stacking up when you start putting it on a scale. I read about this earlier today about Thomas. He was saying, I will not believe unless I can put my hand in his side and touch him and see him. I'm not going to believe that's him. What did Jesus say back to him after he talked to him? He said, More blessed are they that have not seen but yet believe. You know how powerful faith is tonight? You know how powerful that is? Faith is the hinging part. Jesus has done his part. Faith is the hinging part on eternal life. That's how powerful it is. We'll get to prayer in a minute. I want to get to the big thing first. Your faith is the power to believe him or not. That's the power to become the Son of God. What would be holding you back? What would be holding you back tonight? That thing you want to pray about, that thing that's burning you so much. But what is holding you back from giving that to the Lord? And so as he was thinking about these things, he's mulling these things over in his mind, he said, yes, I kept these things up. Now, verse 21 is your hinging point. I think this right here is kind of where our conviction lies in our heart when the Lord is really dealing with us. When you're sitting in the pew, wherever it may be, when the Lord is dealing with you and your heart is pounding in your chest, and the Lord is saying, you need to be honest with yourself here right now. You need to be honest with yourself and what we're talking about. Because he knew what was standing in the way of the rich young ruler and his salvation. He knew. In this case, it was money. Other times, it could be other things. It doesn't have just to be money. Anything that is before God is your stumbling block, whatever that may be. Whatever it may be. And you can fill in that blank. You probably would know what that is tonight, whatever that would be. And Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, if thou wilt be complete, if thou would have eternal life, if you're being very serious about this question that you're asking me, if you're serious about it, if thou wilt be perfect, and go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You see, this right here now, this person is thinking about those tangible things that he's probably worked for. I don't know if he inherited this or what. He probably had some investment in it, because easy money sometimes will spend easy or spend fast, and I don't think he wanted to do that. But when we think that we have all this provision set up, then if we're not careful, we'll put our faith in that provision and we'll lose faith in God himself. And see, that's the thing. I want to ask you tonight, are you with God? Are you with what you think you have? I've been hearing rumors, now's not a good time to retire if you're up for retirement. I heard that the stock market's getting ready to tank and it's going down, all this kind of stuff. It's not good. But I tell you, if your faith is in that, then it's a bleak time. I just want to tell you this. There's never a bad time to invest in Jesus Christ. Never. Never. There's never a time, Brother Bill, that you want to say, you know what? We might need to start pulling out some faith. Now would be a good time to pull some faith out, because I don't know. Jesus has never lost. Jesus has always won. He won the greatest victory it ever was. When you think about the victory over death, hell, and the grave, only one could do that. Then after he did it, he said, if you accept me, I'll let you be victorious over that yourself. See, he's a winner. Anybody that can raise himself from the dead, I'll follow that person, because there's only one that can do that. I'll follow him. There's never a good time to not stay with him. There's never a good time to not be with God. And whatever it is, and whatever we think that we might be able to do without him, we can't. We can't do it. His way of doing things, his provision is perfect. Even if it takes longer than what we anticipate, or if we don't understand it, it's perfect. And what he was getting at here in verse 21, he don't need your money. He don't need my money. He didn't need his money. You know what he needed? What he wanted? He wanted his heart. And that's exactly what was keeping him from giving his heart. What's keeping you from giving your heart tonight? What is more important? What is more important than giving your heart to God, knowing that if you were to pass away in your sleep, he's got you? Knowing no matter what happens financially, no matter what happens in life moving forward, he's got you. There's nothing better than that. There's no more peace that you can have than something like that. And so what he was saying is, he said, give up those things that you perceive that you have provision in, that you have your confidence in, that you think make you happy. Sometimes we think things make us happy, and sometimes it's a waste of time. God can show us that too. There's some things in our life that just don't need to be there. It needs to be gone. And what we need to do is return back to our first love and have our focus back on God Himself. Be with God. With God. And you come on down. I know we need to pray. But he's saying here, he said also, as he goes on to say, he says, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. He just asked two different things. He just asked two things of him. Give up all you have. Give it to the poor. And then he said, come follow me. You know, that's kind of what gets me sometimes. You think about young people. I remember this. I had a friend one time. His dad was witnessing to him, and not with me present, but he was telling me about it. His dad was talking to him about his need to accept the Lord and not live a rough lifestyle, a wicked lifestyle, that kind of thing, and talking to him. And his response is, and you've heard this said before, his response was, you know, I'm having fun right now. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give up all this fun that I'm having. And I tell you, he wasn't having fun. The flesh might have thought that, and this world might think that, but I promise you, it's not fun. You know, if you read the headlines and if you're on social media and things, you see people passing away a lot. And I'm not saying every single bit of it has something to do with drugs and alcohol, but you'll see a lot of famous people pass away at a very young age. And a lot of times it's because of their lifestyle. Not being judgmental, it's the truth. There's a lot of poor people who have a bad lifestyle. I'm just saying, people you'd recognize, you say, wow, this person has all this and this, and you think they'd be happy because they have this money or what have you. They don't have their health. They don't have their mind, some of them. The drugs and alcohol, the abuse that they put on their body and did not stay with God or would not accept God. And you see it come at a price. They might have seemingly what they would say fun for a while, but it's temporal. It's not what the Lord has intended for us, but he's talking about laying up treasure in heaven. Think about that just for a second. I'm going to try to hurry. Think about that just for a second. Would you like to have fun down here for a few minutes? Or would you like to have blessings in heaven for eternity? I mean, think about that. Think about that. Because what if you had to choose one or the other and you couldn't have both? He said, I'm going to be in heaven. I'm saved. I'm going to be in heaven. So I'm going to just kind of do whatever here. But I'm still going to heaven. But what about rewards? What about being obedient? What about the things that God promised to his people if they would be obedient to him that he would give to you that you in turn really could just give back to him? It's not about us, remember? Think about that. Would you rather be blessed in your own mind? You say the word blessed or perceived blessings here. Whatever that might look like or be, our life is just a vapor for that period of time, or would you not rather choose it for eternity? But you know what that takes? That takes faith. And you can't have that kind of faith if you don't have your heart in it. It comes back to us putting our heart into the matter. And that's what he was saying here. And he said, follow me. What an exciting life this young man gave up, and he didn't even know it. The places that Jesus could have taken him and the things that he could have shown him and the things that he could have experienced on God's provision, not his little pile of provision that he thought he had. I know God's provision far exceeds mine. And I'll just choose, Lord willing, to stay with him. Verse 22, and it comes on down here, and it says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He made a decision that night, that day. He made a decision. He said, I'm going to stay with what I have, that tangible thing that I have, versus putting my faith in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say here, he's talking about how people are, how man's mind works. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. When he's thinking things out logically, he's going with the sure thing, the thing that he thinks sure in his mind, versus extending his faith to what Jesus Christ has. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's hard to reason with somebody who puts their faith in anything else than Jesus Christ. I mean, that's pretty much what you see on TV anymore. If you watch YouTube, if you watch the news, you watch these, the protests and the things that are going on, all that kind of stuff. It is hard to reason. I'm not saying we're not supposed to try, but it is very hard to reason with some of those people. The Bible says, it goes on to say, well, how hard is it? If you give an example, well, Jesus does. He said, it's easier to put a camel through the eye of a needle than to reason with a person like that. That's hard to take in, isn't it? Especially if you love that person. You want to see that person saved. You want to see that person helped. And so I think that's kind of where the minds of the disciples were. They just saw Jesus witness to this person walk away. Jesus then say how hard it is to reason with some people. Then verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Like, what do we do moving forward? How is this going to work? You know, and I know this is talking about salvation here, but I think we have situations in our life that's the same thing. How in the world is this going to be answered? How, God, can you do anything with this? Are you going to do anything with this? Is this just how it's going to be? You know, a lot of times we end up with that question mark, and something that has stayed on my mind for the last 2 weeks. Brother Ethan Green said this. We were talking, I can't remember who he said it, but he said, God doesn't deal with the improbable, he deals with the impossible. That's how you know it's him. That's how you know it's God. When you can't see absolutely any other way, God answers that prayer the way he wants to answer it. It's God. And I want to take it a step further in saying this. Moms and dads, it's praying for your young people. Keep praying. Because that's what he's talking about. Who then can be saved? What does he say here in verse number 26? He finishes out like this. I'll finish with this tonight. But Jesus beheld them. You know, he beheld the rich young ruler. He loved him. And of course, he loves his own people. He beheld them. He looked at them with care. He wasn't saying anything callous. He said it out of love. He said, with men, this is impossible. He said, it's impossible for you to pull, push, drag, persuade. It's impossible. Somebody's got their mind so far set up, but then what does he say right after that? He says, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. That tells me that God has a way of persuading people. God has a way of persuading hearts. God has a way of reaching out to people, working on people. And that just tells me I need to keep praying. Mom, Dad, you need to keep praying. We need to keep praying for our young people that are lost and going through different things and facing all kinds of things. This life offers all kinds of different trials and obstacles, but there's a lot to pray about. But I'm going to end off right there tonight with God. With God, all things are possible. That's the promise that Jesus himself said. That encourages me tonight. I hope it's an encouragement to you. And we have a lot to pray about tonight. And again, I'm going to ask us to get together here in just a minute, but a few things that I have written down, and please also mention your objects tonight as well. Vacation Bible School.